All right, everybody, welcome back. I'm Nikki, I'm your host.
I'm Gigi, I'm your co-host.
And this is
the Team Meyer Podcast.
Sorry for our difficulties last week. I literally was an alien.
Speaking of which, how are you feeling today? Are you feeling okay?
I'm feeling human, but I don't know that that can change at any second.
Well, we'll see how it goes. But you look pretty normal right now, so I have hopes.
Well, good. Well, that's a good sign.
I'm just really glad you're back because you were scary.
I was scared of myself. Horrified. I don't know what that was. I hope I never see that again, or else I'll never do a podcast again if that happens. So, okay. But Gigi, before we start, can we just say a really quick shout out to Dana again? Thanks again for all you do. We love you. And
love you.
You are the reason that this happens, even when I'm an alien. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, before we get to our topic for the day, which I'm really excited about, Gigi, I know you are too, because it's really funny. Can we just give a shout out to a boob of the week?
Yes.
Okay. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, so stop and go back to episode 3, 10 reasons, or no, it just says, are we weird?
Yes.
And we'll let you decide. So boob of the week, for those of you who know what the heck I'm saying, Gigi, do you have one?
I do.
Okay.
Guess who it is?
I hope it's not me.
No, we've already talked about you. Brian Pruitt, my husband.
Oh, Brian.
So, oh my gosh. So this is hilarious. And this wasn't, to be fair, this wasn't last week, but it was a story that I thought of recently that I had to share. And it was recent, but basically dad was in town, right? And we were cooking out together. And so Brian is awesome with the grill. So he was cooking salmon for everybody.
And saint.
Yes. And so, you know, on the grill with salmon, we have this black mat that we use as opposed to just putting the salmon straight on the grill. And so dad was basically just saying, hey, Brian, as soon as you're finished with that, can you please just clean off the black mat? And then he was like, yeah, sure thing, coach. After dinner was over, Brian disappears for an hour. And we're all like, where the heck did Brian go? Like, what is going on? He comes back an hour later and I'm like, Brian, where were you? And he was like, oh, I was cleaning the black grill cover.
For an hour.
And we were like, the black grill cover? Why would you be cleaning the black? Brian thought dad was telling him to clean the cover of the grill as opposed to the black mat that he cooked the salmon on. The grill.
Halt.
What?
You're lying.
No, I'm serious. Brian. Yeah. So Brian cleaned the whole grill cover. And he didn't clean the salmon mat yet. And so dad was like, wait, hold on. I'm just really confused right now. Like you cleaned the cover of the grill. And I was like, yeah, I thought you told me to.
I'm sorry.
Brian spent an hour cleaning the black cover grill and dad was messing with him saying like, hey, the good news is like there is no one else in Sarasota that has a as clean of a grill cover as we have right now. So that's,
you know what? The glass was half full. Thank you, dad, for saying the glass is half full, because he should have said, Brian, you're a boob.
I think he was kind of saying that too. But here's the thing. In Brian's defense, right, you know, that would be something crazy to ask for. But dad asks for crazy things all the time. Like dad will be like, hey, Brian, what are you doing tomorrow morning at 3 a.m? I have a flight.
Can you clean our whole roof?
Yeah.
Can you get on the roof and clean every little shingle?
And what is one thing you can't do to dad? Say
you
no.
Don't say no. So, you say, yes, sir. Where's your ladder? Or do you want me to scale the wall and get up there and clean?
Done. Consider it done. It's already done. So then, yeah, in Brian's defense, it's like, okay, you know, you can't say no, dad. And so he cleaned the grill cover and it's still really clean.
That's phenomenal. I hope it stays that way. Might as well. Just ride it out now. Keep that baby clean. That's so good.
Take one day a month to do it.
But also clean the mat, though.
Yes. Yeah, he still had to clean that.
Yeah. Definitely clean the mat.
It was awesome.
I'll go ahead and, you know what? I'm going to throw myself under the bus because I have a funny story. So I'm 30 years old. Hi, my name is Nikki. I'm 30 years old and I've I drove through a car wash for the first time in my life last week.
Hi, Nikki.
Hi. It's really nice to be here. And that was horrifying. I had my two kids in the car and all of a sudden I go up and it's like, do you want a monthly membership? And I was like, I don't know. I'm going to see how this goes. I'm going to see how this happens first. And so I bought a one wash. It's like $8. I was like, wow, that's a lot for a little, going to have my freaking kids do it next week. So anyway, in the snow. So by the way, I drove out and there's freaking salt and snow. By the time I get home, my car looked the same than when I left that day. So anyways, I go in the car wash and I pay the $8 and I'm like coming around, like she's coming around the mountain, like about to go into the car wash. And all of a sudden it starts saying all this crazy stuff, like put your car in neutral. I'm like, what? Why? And so I call Corey and I'm legit like, I'm like, Corey, I just want to make sure I don't break the car wash. Like it says neutral. So that means like the gear shift in neutral, right? And then Gray's like freaking out because he sees like this big scary thing. And Troy's like, mommy, why are you scared? Because I'm like scared on the phone. Everyone is having a panic attack, three of us. And Corey's yelling at me on the phone saying, Nikki, put the car in neutral. And I'm like, I think I did it. Oh, nope. I think I'm in park. And I like was just really upset and scared. Then I finally figure out the neutral situation. We get in the car wash and then I think I'm crooked. And I'm like, Corey, I'm going to go into the side of it. It's over.
I love you. Thank you for everything.
I love you. Thank you for everything. But this is it. Anyways, we make it. And we all like kind of come out on the other side. Goodness. And I was like, all right, that was nice. Bye. And I drove away and I'm never going back. Thank God I didn't pay the monthly fee.
What it was like for the kids, it was probably like being engulfed by a monster though, because it is scary.
With a mother who has no idea what the heck she's doing. Golly, who lets me?
That's like, the first time hearing the story. I love it.
It was really bad. I've never told anyone until now, except for Corey. So anyways, boob, like fair enough. Like that was really bad. And I'm never going back. Like it was a really traumatizing situation.
I wish we
maybe I should have filmed it next time. If I ever go back, maybe we'll see. But I'm experienced now. Let's get into it then. So we're going to do some waves. And this was a highly requested topic, GH. I think a lot of people wanted to hear this. So what are the best parts about being coaches kids, and then what like kind of sucks? And we want to say like, what's like so glam, like what's glamorous and fun and awesome about it, and then what is like not glam at all, aka sucks. Mm-hmm. So let's start out, since we're like in the glass half full vibe, thanks to dad. Mm-hmm. And him not like, you know, trying to just make a complete ass out of Brian. Boob. Sorry, Brian, you're a boob. I love you so much, but boob, man. Me and you this week. Welcome. It's very nice to have you. I might be president after my like whole situation. Anyways. So, okay. Top 10 ways, or no, not 10, I guess. 5 ways that it's just glam city to be a coach's kid. Let's just have some fun with this, because it is fun. And what is the best part, Gigi, about being coach's kids? Like we have total access to like what? Give me some examples.
The convenience of parking, having tickets.
Parking. Like what do people do without the family parking pass? I don't want to know. If they take that from me, I don't know what I'll do.
I know. We did, Brian and I recently did kind of witness a little bit of the experience of not having the luxury of parking passes, because we went to a Bucks game and we had to walk like a mile to and from.
So you were in like the parking wilderness?
Yes, we were. And we had to walk with a bunch of other people too. So
for a long time?
It was probably about a mile walk. I'm not even kidding.
Did you have to like, did you go
paid like $50?
You paid $50?
Something like that. It wasn't.
Oh my God. For a mile walk?
Yep. To and from.
Shout out to the people that do that every time. Like that is legit commitment.
Commitment.
Like financially and like time and like in the elements. What if you're in the elements that day? What if it rains?
Snows
in Ohio. Like God, we've been in freaking snow for 2 weeks here. So like Ohio does you no weather favors. So that's a huge deal. Parking, I understand. I cherish it forever.
Yes.
Tickets. Now, tickets. Yeah. Like, I think people paid like thousands of dollars to go to the postgame games for Ohio State this year.
Sure.
And that's amazing. Obviously, like with COVID, there is limited seating. So I understand. But like, people pay like big time dollars. Like, well, we would pay for like a first class ticket to Japan. They paid that for the Clemson game this year.
That's wild. That's awesome.
Shout out to them though, because that is commitment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome, but I'm super thankful that we get the tickets. Right. And however, there were some scenarios where we almost didn't, like COVID, like almost even took it from the family. So I'm glad that, you know, people worked really hard to make that happen for us. So I'm super thankful. But, you know, even in a normal given year, let's pretend COVID doesn't exist in the good old days of 2019, right? How, you know, you've got like plenty of tickets, but even that's still not enough, like, because you got family and then the family's family and then everyone's family. And then you got people that you want to take care of because they, you know, do these awesome things for you all the time. So it's just like tickets are super nice. Now, what else do we get access to though, Gigi? It's like the biggest treat ever.
The amazing facilities and the resources of the university.
It's like the Disney World of adulting. Because everything hurts when you're an adult, like your knees hurt, your butt hurts, your ankles hurt, like all the things. And then you go in and you're like, "Ow, I hurt." And they're like, "Oh, let me help."
And or the best of the best. So you can trust.
Oh, yeah.
They know exactly what they're talking about.
Well, you've had your share of problems.
Oh, plenty of them. Shout out Stuart.
Yeah. Shout out. And they also have like food. Like one time I was driving by because I took a workout class and I was like, "Hey, what's up?" And Cora's like, "Hey, I'm having breakfast." And I was like, "Okay, great. See you in 5. And I walked in and they made me an omelet and I ate it. And then I got back in my car and went to work. They're like, "What would you like on that?" And it's like a 5-star restaurant. Like these players, I would have a problem. Like if I were them, I would weigh 1,000 pounds. Cause I'd be like, "I'll have an omelet and dessert omelet."
like a stack of 10 pancakes, please. And thank you.
Oh my God. Yes. Like all the pancakes and then I'm going to take a bowl of cereal to go because they have all the good cereal in there. It's amazing. Like these players literally, and they have these nutritionists. It's amazing that like know their stats. So they're like following the player around. They're like, "You can have 2 scoops of this and 6 things of this." Like, and then they give them a to-go baggie of peanut butter sandwiches. It's with their names on it. Like these players are awesome, but we're so lucky that we get to go and enjoy that. The facilities are awesome. So lots of access. I hope anyone who is in a coach's kid or family scenario, like don't take that for granted because it is really special and you are spoiled. So any other word than spoiled is not the truth because we're spoiled. So we're very thankful for that. Now, next, consistency in the schedules. Say it with me. I know what's happening every day for the rest of my life when my dad's a coach, especially in football season. So should we take them through like a game week scenario, Gigi?
Yeah.
Go for it. Okay. Okay.
You're in this more so than I am too, because you were a daughter of a coach and now you're a wife of a coach.
Yeah.
You have like, you know, double the experience of me.
I doubled down on this life.
So yes.
Corey, by the way, I still complain sometimes, like, and we'll explain in the not so glam parts. And Corey's like, "Dude, you know better than anybody. What's your problem?" I'm like, "I don't know. It's just," we'll explain that part later. So, okay. So the consistency of the schedules in season, it's like freaking clockwork and it's so predictable. It's amazing. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, late nights, see you later. Bye. Like I won't see you until you leave at 5:30 and you come home at 11:30. Unbelievable. And I, you know, quick story about Corey. I called him. It was 12:30. You guys, I woke up and I'm like, "Okay, where's Corey?" And it's not, my only concern was like, did he crash because he was so tired when he was driving home? That was my only thing. So I called him and he's like, "Hey, yeah, sorry. We're breaking down this third down thing real quick. I'll be home in an hour. I'm like, "Corey, it's like 1 in the morning. Just get a cup of coffee before you hit the road on the way home. So Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, late night, I won't see you, and we're committed to that. Have a nice time. See ya on Wednesday. So Wednesday, still leaving early, like crack of dawn, but then they're home at like 7:30 and you're like, oh my God, let's grill a steak and have a little glass of wine. It's a great night. And you get to have some quality time, right? Thursday.
Hold on. Let me back up to Wednesday. Dad's routine with Wednesday. Do you remember what that was up at Ohio State?
Oh, we'd go to dinner with him.
Well, back then, but more recently, just before
soup night.
Yeah. Bonnie.
Soup night. Dad would go to our neighbor's house and make her cook soup for him. And she's like, and I'm like, not even doing her justice. She's like a chef in the soup kitchen. Right. Like she's amazing. Mm-hmm. It'd be like broccoli cheddar or wedding soup, Italian wedding soup, or, you know, whatever. And like, she's amazing. And so Dad would be like, yep, soup night. And he'd go over there and have some soup and dessert. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was Wednesday. Before that, back when we were all together living in the same place, we'd go to dinner.
Yes. All the time. We'd go to dinner. Dragonfly, shout out in Jacksonville. Or no, I'm sorry, golly, in Gainesville. Can we put one in Jacksonville? Can someone do that, please? I'll go in on it with you.
Or Sarasota.
Okay. Or both at the same time. Double down.
Yes.
What about Columbus, Ohio? Probably not. But yeah, so Dad would take us to dinner when we were in high school and we were learning to drive, right? And no one liked driving with Mom because she like paid way too much attention. She would be like, oh my God, you're going 2 miles over the speed limit. Slow down. Or you're too close to the car in front of you. Or you didn't stop long enough at that stop sign. Whatever. Like just like total backseat driver anxiety for a young driver learning. Dad would take us to dinner and then he'd sit in the front seat and he'd have some calls to make. And that just meant get us home. You know, you're 15. You got it. And we're like learning to drive. And I really think that's how I learned to drive. Because Dad just like, let me do my thing. Also, yeah, like, so we went to Dragonfly and then we moved up here and I was older. I wasn't a teenager anymore, but before kids, like we'd go to this Brazen Head place, which had $4 burger night. And we would always have like all these college students around us. And one time Dad was in a really good mood and he bought a bunch of them a beer and they were like freaking out. And I was like, yeah, cheers guys. Like, happy $4 burger night. It felt like freaking Christmas and everyone was cheersing. Like it was so jolly and happy.
I love when Dad gets in those moods.
I know. It's the best.
Yeah. He has a little fun. I love it.
He does. He's very social sometimes. And then otherwise he's total antisocial.
Great.
Like it's either total social, antisocial. I don't know. So yeah. So totally consistent. So Wednesday night, Thursday nights are similar. We usually did like a big gathering at my parents' house with all of our amazing neighbors and everyone would like chip in with food.
Family night.
Oh, and family night at the facilities. Mm-hmm. So all of the parents or wives, and if you had kids, you'd bring your kids and then we'd pour a bunch of what into a what, Gigi?
Candy bars into a cardboard box, decorated.
Into a decorated cardboard box. And the players would come and grab the candy and go get like showered and cleaned up. And then we would all have dinner together. Mm-hmm. And it was really nice, especially because those players are so good with kids, like unbelievable with kids. So Troy was obsessed with Chase Young. Like he still sees people with dreads and he's like, is that Chase? Like he like loved Chase's hair and he like loved everything about Chase and like everything is still always about Chase. And I think that's because of family night. And shout out to those players that like treat our like little kids, like our babies, like their family, because we look at them like their family. And so it's just really comforting and nice that they look at us the same way. They're just awesome players and family night is a really great tradition.
Yeah. Girl, we've been doing it ever since. How long can you remember, Nikki? Family night. Long. Literally,
Bowling Green.
Yeah.
And that was like one of Dad's first traditions.
And I thought that was a really good opportunity for us to get to know the players too. Like that was a really cool way to build relationships with them. Cause I just remember when I was younger, they always thought it was funny to take more. We were the police to make sure they only took two candy bars. Right. Remember that?
We were psycho. Mom, Chris Lake took 3 Reese cups.
And then we chased after him.
Chris, give me that Reese cup.
Yep, exactly.
Sorry, you took too many. Oh my God. I hate us.
No, we were kids.
I know, but like just they too serious.
The players loved it, you know?
I would hate that. I'd be mad. What? I'd be like, shut up, little kid. I mean, I only have two, and then I'd run.
I think they liked just messing with us and getting away with it.
One of them, I remember one of them grabbed him. He was like, I'm the cookie monster. And he ran away with like 100. I was like, I literally was stunned. I was like, what? And then I didn't even tell because I was so stunned about what I just saw with my own eyes. I swear to God, this is a true story. Like, it was too much. I'm still like having problems. I have trust issues because of that. So Thursdays are great. Fridays, everybody stays at the hotel. Bye bye. See you tomorrow. Have a good night. Get some rest. And so Fridays, coaches are at the hotel with the players and they like get popcorn and like watch movies. Like it's like chill time. Like it's not uptight. And I love that about dad because I think he like wants people to feel like you either did the work or we didn't. So like we're going to have a nice time tonight no matter what.
Right.
And it was great. Mm-hmm. And then Saturday, yay, game day. I hope it's a noon game because then we can hang out tonight. Otherwise, if it's 8 p.m., we go all day and then you play at 8 p.m., win or lose, you're back in the office because guess what? Sunday, Monday, Tuesday is late night. So life comes at you fast on Sundays if it's a 8 p.m. game. 3:30, like it's decent. 12 is gold because you get to watch all the games together at the end.
And you just know. Wake up and go. You know, there's no like lollygagging around that morning.
No.
You just wake up and go.
Yes. You wake up and go.
We should dedicate a whole episode to what a game day looks like.
I know. We will. Mark my words. We will do it, you guys. So, okay, real quick, let's talk about vacay time because predictable as the day is long, because guess what? We both got married on the same weekend.
First Saturday of February.
First Saturday, not only of February, but after signing day. Yes. Because recruiting is the ultimate. So go sign a number one, number two class in America and then go get married. Have a great time.
It's either that or 1 weekend in July, right?
Yeah. But everybody gets married in July. So we were like, we went a little rogue and got married in the winter. So yeah, that's literally my anniversary is February 6th. Yours is the 8th. Happy anniversary. I know first anniversary a couple weeks ago.
Happy fifth for you, right?
Thanks. But yeah, we literally got married the same weekend because we could rely on that weekend being available and probably pretty stress-free. So yeah, that's a problem. If you get married in July, training camps in a couple weeks, that ain't so fun. That's not so relaxed and stress-free because it's like season time coming up. So I think February is the way to go for sure.
Yeah, that was the easiest part of my wedding was picking the date. I feel like a lot of people stress about that. And we're like, well, we only literally have one choice.
And then no one wants it because it's February. Yeah. So it's yours. So I'm happy with that. Yeah. It worked well for us. So, okay. The next part of the glam side of being coaches' families, you get all the swag.
Yes.
All the gear.
Gear.
Gear for years.
Yes.
Like I have more Jacksonville stuff than I like have space in my drawer in my closet. And we've been there 3 weeks. so much gear and it's awesome. Like Corey will go through his closet once a year or something and like just clean house and I'll take it to work and it's like a frenzy. All the guys are like, I wear a large, but give me that triple XL. And I'm like, Corey, why do you have a triple XL? And he's like, I don't know, but it's cool gear. And it's like $150 shirt, probably. Like it's like legit gear. It's like so much gear. So that is a really cool part. So really fast story. So Corey thought he was going to Colorado State, who's Under Armour for like 5 days. And he gave me his Nike dollars to spend because he thought he had to start repping Under Armour, which we've never been Under Armour, nothing against it, but we've just always been at schools that are Nike. So I was like, okay, thanks. And I bought shoes because I'm a runner. So I should go through shoes faster than I do. Like I literally run them until there's holes all over the shoes. So I'm not like a crazy shoe person, but I try to like stock up. Right. So then the next like day, Corey ends up back at Ohio State and he's like, hey, I'm going to buy some shoes. And I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I spent all the dollars. So we get like, it's awesome.
I love it.
So much gear. So we're very appreciative of that. And we donate a lot of it. I know a lot of coaches are really good about donating. And so none of it goes to waste.
We hook our friends up and stuff. We
take- yes. Friends donate, mm-hmm. wear it, everything. So number four on why it's glamorous to be a coach's kid is because bowl games.
Yeah. Bowl trips.
Bowl trips. It is a trip.
Trip. It's yeah.
And we're going to do a whole episode on a bunch of these.
Yes.
Because okay. we've been to 29, 30 bowl games.
That's wild.
We like don't know what else to do. Like mom and dad and you and Brian and Nate, like dad wasn't coaching Ohio State last year, but we were in the playoff game versus Clemson out in Arizona and everybody panicked and went to the bowl game because you guys didn't know what to do. So you're like, hey, we're going to come. We're like, all right, guys.
So we all went.
So everybody was there. So it was like normal bowl game, except dad wasn't actually coaching. So he probably actually enjoyed himself this time. Oh, yeah.
That's the one bowl game that we've been to the most, I think, Arizona.
The Fiesta. I feel like, yeah, we've been there a lot and it's awesome. They're all so good. Like the bowl trips could literally be the best party planners in the world. Cause you wake up and they're like, well, today you have the option of this, 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 this. I mean, it's so nice if you're a family member. The coaches, God bless them. Cause they are working their butts off, like really, really hard the whole time. And we're like, oh, it's ladies' lunch and Nordstrom day. Have a nice time. And I'm going to drop my kids at the daycare that's available all day. I mean, it is like a treat for the families and it's like a grind for the husbands. Yeah. But, and we'll get into this like once we get into bowl specifics, but I've been to a couple bowl games with kids, which like changes the game. And every parent out there knows, like, you just kind of lose it for a minute. Like when you're tired, because you know, when you get really crazy with kids, you just throw in a little bit of a time difference and a hotel room. So like, yeah, yeah. Like when somebody's up, like it's like everybody's up and sometimes it's 4 a.m. because they think it's time to wake up. Anyways, it's all great though. But sometimes you're just really tired and you're like looking at your husband like this and he's like, sorry, I know you're listening to me, but my eyes are like really wide and scary. And he's like, hey, are you having a nice time? I'm really tired. And you're like, you're tired. And like, you forget for a minute that they're working like 20 hour days. And you're like, do you want to die? Because tell me you're tired again, because my kids are crazy and we didn't sleep for 3 days. And we also don't know who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, because it's after Christmas before New Year. You know, that week of just like, what's happening? It's just like all at once at a bowl game. But bowl games are great. Yeah. Bowl games are awesome, except for that little part.
Yeah, it's great. And you always seem to survive somehow, but I know exactly what you mean. I've seen it, guys. I've witnessed it.
I'm fine. So bowl games are great. They're so fun. You get like presents and gift cards and like hospitality suites with like all the drinks and food and treats. Oh my God, so many treats. It's just like awesome. So they're great. Now, here's my last glam list on the good side of being a coach's family. Close family unit. And we just talked about this on our last episode. There's nothing like a coaching family unit, I don't think.
No.
It's rare. And it's tight. Knit. It is tight. And I think, would you agree, Gigi, like the hard parts that we're about to talk about, like the close family unit is like a product of those.
Yeah. Cause we're going through it together and then we get each other. And yeah, like you said, it just forms the bond.
Totally.
At that point we need each other, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's really well said, because the parts that we're going to talk about, like you need each other. And that's why, you know, you are that close bond. And please, again, go listen to episode 3, because we talk about like the 10 ways that we are that close. And it might be weird, but it's pretty tight knit. So, okay. So let's talk about the hard parts. And we're not complaining. So don't listen to this and be like, you guys are complaining. Like, we know we are spoiled. Like everyone is spoiled and we're so thankful. It's a really fun like lifestyle and it's awesome. Lots of perks, but like, there's hard things, right?
Oh yeah. Plenty of them. But the hard things also help us more so appreciate the good things.
Yes.
So I feel like anything that you deal with, there's always a little, like you said, not so glam side to the glam side.
Yeah. It's just life. It's
just life.
So
our not so glams are pretty tough to deal with. I won't lie.
Totally. Totally. Okay. So the first thing that's not so glam about being a coach's kid, we have consistent schedules, like I said, but they're consistently hard schedules. So Gigi, what sport do we play?
Volleyball.
When's the volleyball season?
Right during football season.
Oh, that's tough. So what happens when you're in college and your dad can't come to your senior night?
You plan your own senior night.
Oh, so you have another senior night. So you have two senior nights.
Pretty much. And then your sister flies down and is your basically your, what do you call it? Your,
companion or escort.
Yes. Your escort at senior night. So Nikki flew down for my senior night cause dad couldn't make mine. And you know, I had a really awesome coaching staff that was even considering giving me my own senior night. So that was awesome. But yeah, things like that happen.
They do. They happen. And guess what? No one gets offended. You're like, it's all right, dad. Sorry, you missed it, but glad you could make my fake solo senior night. Thanks for doing that. It was great to have you.
Yes, exactly.
Actually, after your real senior night where I was your family, mm-hmm. Do you remember what we did after your game?
I can't remember.
We went to a bar and watched dad beat Michigan State at Michigan State.
Yes.
Wow. And it was awesome.
That's cool. Those are cool memories, you know?
Yeah.
Awesome.
It was awesome. And it was like, he couldn't be there and you couldn't be there for him either. Like that was like the biggest game of that year for him. Right. Like, so no one could be there for anybody really, but mom was there for dad. I was there for you. Therefore we were together watching him in spirit.
We were there for each other.
We were. So it's hard, but guess what? Dad is like mastermind at making it up to us. Mm-hmm. He's like the most creative person I know. So what do you do for a 9-year-old when you didn't go to their T-ball games that year? They buy you a what?
A bunny rabbit.
A bunny, like a rabbit, like a live bunny. But guess how he gets around mom to do that? Oh. You tell her you're going to buy a jug of milk. And then you take your child to the pet store. You purchase a rabbit and you bring it home.
Yeah.
And then everyone's like, I don't know how this happened.
You left the house for milk and came back with a bunny rabbit.
Yeah, but I missed her T-ball. Like, I'm sorry. And everyone's like, oh yeah, that's all right. You did miss that game. So that's all right. And then everyone just like carries on with their life. And we have a living organism in the house that wasn't supposed to be there.
And then mom has to take care of it.
And then mom gets stuck taking care of it. Mom would like, I would come home from school and mom would be like holding the bunny, petting it. And she's like, you need to spend some time with your bunny. And I'm like, I know.
That was that dad couldn't do. I think,
no to us.
Yeah. Say no. He could never say no to us.
So you're saying it's mutual. It's
mutual. Yeah. Yes. Wow. But I remember all, you know, a part of being really spoiled. Dad would always make it up to us by just saying yes to everything. But at the
that's
same-
deep. I know. That's deep because it is mutual. We don't ever say no to him and he never says no to us.
Who says no all the time now?
Mom. Mom?
He says no. She has to be.
She has to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny. Oh my God. Or mom would be like, hey, I need an 8x10 picture frame. This is like a real example. And dad would be like, all right. And then we end up buying a bike. Somebody needed a new bike, I guess. And we come home and mom's like, where's the picture frame? And dad's like, oh goodness. I got bamboozled into buying a bike again. That is so great. Kali, I love him.
He's the best. So is mom. Mom's the best too.
They're the best. And mom would be like, oh yeah, I understand. Like, I mean, it's just, that's how we function. And that's how we, you know, we live. So sorry, tough schedules. I know I got on like a little bit of a tangent, but like dad, I used to have this little mailbox outside of my room in either Bowling Green or Notre Dame. I was like little, I still have the letters, and we would like leave each other notes in this mailbox and put the little flag up every day. Every note I have from dad is like, can't wait to see you on Thursday. Can't wait to talk about it Thursday. Show me your homework on Thursday. I mean, everything is about Thursday. So it just shows like how really precious that Thursday night is, like, because it's like all they have to look forward to. And it's just exciting. So
really cool story that you and dad. That's awesome.
I'll get the notes out one day and like maybe post like a little overpick, but I mean, it's like hundreds. Sometimes it's on a post-it. Sometimes dad would like put like a little hotel card in there and was like, I stayed in this hotel this weekend. And I would like collect all the hotel cards.
Yes. You would make like scrapbooks out of them too.
Yeah. I probably have them somewhere. Mom's like cleaning out her house right now, so I'm sure she'll like uncover a bunch of goodies. But yeah, so they're consistent, but they're consistently hard schedules. So number two on the not so glam side, and like, this is good. It is, but like when you're in the heat of being 13, it's not so good. So we get a lot of tough love. And why? Like, why would we be in a tough love type of family?
Coaching family.
Yeah. Your dad's like a crazy competitive human. Yes. And that's like what he does. He like coaches people all the time and gives them tough love. So it's only natural to do that with your family. Mm-hmm. And it's not bad, but it's like tough. Like my friends would be like, oh yeah, I slept till noon. And I'm like, God, I was up pulling weeds at 9 a.m. And then dad made me pitch 1,000 balls and I cried because I suck. And he made me keep trying. And then he yelled at me and then I ran 10 laps around the house.
Wow.
Like,
I think that stems from how he was raised though too. Remember that story of him, how he, I can't remember exactly what he did, but I think he struck out or he pouted at the end of a baseball game. And so his dad made him run home.
I think he went down not swinging. Like, I think he struck out, but he struck out just by standing there.
So he had to run home 4 miles.
And then he had to run home. Like, his dad drove home and he was like, hey, I'll see you at home. And he got in the car and drove away. And he was like, all right. And then like somehow got home. This will be
story for Nate though. Nate probably has the worst of the tough love of all of it. Probably. Don't you think?
Oh, dad like spanked me one time.
Oh my gosh. This is a great story.
Oh my God. Like we need to get like this from like the source. Like we got to talk to dad about this. But one time I lied to dad and I was like little and I was climbing on this little house and I lied about it. And dad was like, hey, were you climbing on the house? And I was like, no. And he was like, hey, Nikki, were you climbing on the house? And I was like, no. He was like, Nicole, were you climbing on the house? And I was like, no. And I was lying and I hated to lie. And he spanked me. And then I turned around and I looked at him dead in the eye. And I said, you don't have God in your heart. And I walked away and I was like 4. And he never spanked anybody again.
My favorite story of you.
He never spanked it. You're welcome.
I know. Thank you. I really appreciate that. I never got spanked by dad because of that, I think.
No, you were actually perfect and Nate was actually perfect. But like also if you weren't perfect, you probably would have not gotten spanked ever because of that. You don't have God in your heart. I just walked away. Gosh.
That struck him.
And I think he went and talked to mom about it. He was like, guess what? I need to talk through this because my 4-year-old just like hit me with a dagger.
That's like you nowadays though. Like you can just say something and it's like a straight up dagger. It's like, oh wow. Yep.
And I just walk away. I do feel bad now. I at least have a soul. I didn't when I was 4, but I at least now like have some guilt, but I still do it, but I have guilt.
That is a great story. That's my story.
It's good. It's bad, but it's good. Like, so yeah, there you go. Tough love, man. Mm-hmm. But I also like, I somehow finagled my way out of that one, out of another spanking for the rest of my life.
Another story with Nate though, his experience with tough love was when he had one game, I think one moment, maybe like a 2 to 3 second moment where he wasn't hustling off the field at his baseball game. And dad doesn't like that at all. And so he made Nate run around the house for what, an hour?
Outside in Florida. And he ran around the house and mom was like doing the dishes, watching him just
never not hustled ever again after that. So
no,
dad does it. They do it well where if they want you to learn a lesson, you learn it quick.
Oh yeah. Like we weren't allowed to say like when we were upstairs and mom and dad were like, hey, come down here. We couldn't, or they were like, hey, Nikki, I couldn't go. What? Like, we weren't allowed to do that. Remember, we had to come down and be like, yes. We couldn't say, yeah. Now, it's not as bad as, like, Corey. Corey's like, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. Like, everything, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. We just couldn't say, yeah, or what. Like, but, like, tough love. Like, respect, tough love, hustle, don't lie, get good grades. And that is, like, the, to the intensity of, like, 10, 11 billion.
Yes.
As mom would say. So, yeah, and like I said, like, dad would make me pitch softballs. Like, he wanted me to be good at softball so bad. And he would be like, you can do it. We're going to pitch 1,000 balls. And I would just cry and cry. And he'd be like, you can do it. We're going to stay out here until you get it. And I never got it. So, I mean, just tough love, just the coach in him. So my next thing on our list is thick skin. Very important as coach's kids. Maybe the holy grail of being a coach's child. If you can get this right, you shall live a very beautiful, happy life.
Get it right quick though, too. Like, very quick.
Yeah. Do you remember, like, when dad first started to, like, be talked about at Florida? I remember somebody said something that wasn't even a big deal there. Like, he, I don't know. Like, it wasn't even, like, negative. And I was like, I can't believe they're talking about dad. And mom was like, oh, we better all get thick skin. She knew it was coming. And she said thick skin. And I was like, what does that mean? Holy cow. I wish I would have prepared more for that aspect of it. People are so mean.
You are.
But that's okay. Because we just, you know what? Like, and I'm at a point now, and I wonder if you are or Nate, like, something could be flying around, like, whatever. And I'm just like, I don't care. I don't care.
Or you just laugh at it. You're just like, that's funny that people say that stuff or think that.
Like, what are you talking about? Or what happened to you today? Are you okay, sir? Are you all right?
Sir.
You know what? One little tip for anybody out there that deals with this. And on a day that it bothers me, because I'm human, it does bother me. So I'm not going to sit here and be like, I don't care. Like, 70% of the time, I don't care. 30% of the time, if I'm feeling a little sensitive that day, I'm like, man, why did you say that? Like, why would you say that? And I click on their profile and, like, I'll scroll through their tweets sometimes. And they just do that to, like, everyone. Like, it's not even about us. Like, that person is just dealing with something where they got to, like, say mean things to a lot of people. And I'm like, okay, well, at least it's not about us. Like, that's just, like, something that person needs some help with or whatever. Like, and so that's, like, the one thing, if I just can't get past it, I just look and I'm like, ooh, that's a you thing. And then I just move on with my life.
Right. Exactly. And I've learned that if dad's not being talked about, he's doing something wrong, right? If he's being talked about, he's doing something right. That's what I've learned.
I ain't got enough haters.
Right?
Who said that? That's like a beautiful quote.
I ain't got enough haters.
Something's not right. I don't have enough haters. It's literally a line from a song and it's true.
I gotta find that. I'll find it.
Okay.
One game where we were at Team Up North. Right. Remember, we were with Ashley Seselzik and we were in line with, can I tell this?
Yes.
We were in line to go to the bathroom and some Team Up North fan, nasty people, right? For the most part, turns around and I can't even remember what he says. Do you remember what he said?
I don't know. Like, just was mean and started yelling at us.
Yeah. It was just mean, just being rude. And then you look at him and you're just like, you're like a dad.
I couldn't believe it. We were like 25 or like, we were like younger. Like, I didn't have kids actually. So we were like, I was like 23 and you were like 20. And I was like,
this grown man,
why are you yelling at me? Aren't you someone's dad? And that was I was like, why are you saying that to a child? Like, I wasn't like a child, but I was like,
you're like a
young enough
dad. I think that shut him up though. I think
you're a dad. You're a dad. Stop yelling at me. I'm just trying to use the porta potty. We're all miserable in this line. No one wants to go in there. I'm pissed too. I don't want to go in the porta potty. I know you don't want to go in the porta potty. We're all mad at each other because of that, but you're also a father, so please don't yell at me. Thank you. Have a nice life.
I think that's how we handle the haters nowadays most of the time.
So it's, oh my God. There are some coaches' kids that are hysterical. Like the Calipari girls. Am I saying their name right? I don't know anything about like sports or basketball except for Jags and Ohio State and the places we've been. So I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but they are funny and they are tough. Those girls are like tough as nails because they just get it like we all do. And they just like throw it back like I've never seen. And they make me laugh really hard. They literally don't care. And they are so funny and witty. So shout out to them, man. They're freaking like killers. They're great.
When you get to a point where you just don't care, I think that's when you have it figured out.
You win. Mm-hmm. I'm there sometimes. Sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I cry. Sometimes I laugh. But I get it.
You win some, you lose some.
That's life, baby. So thick skin. Get it now or you're not going to survive. Now, number four is under the not so glam parts of being a coach's kid. You're in a freaking microscope, man. Don't even say a thing that could be misconstrued as a thing of a thing of a thing. Don't do it or you're getting killed for it. And we were like old enough to where social media like wasn't, you know, in our face when we were 21 or whatever. I really worried about this for my brother, our brother, but he's so perfect. He's an angel. Like he handled himself like a champ, but I mean, you can't even say or tweet anything, even if you're like trying to defend yourself.
Mm-hmm. Everyone makes mistakes, right?
Yes.
But it's mistakes. Like when we make a mistake, it's like an extra, extra, extra mistake. So we have
it's to- like an ESPN headline and they can't wait. They're like salivating. They're like, oh, I can't wait to.
Yeah. People are waiting.
Oh, this is so good. Yeah. And then it's over. And then you have to delete your Twitter for a day.
I remember there were a couple times where I was interviewed like in college. And there's just a couple times where I said something about dad being like an FGCU fan. Like he's a fan of FGCU because I go to FGCU. And somehow the media turned that.
Imagine that.
Him being an Eagle, FGCU Eagle fan over the Florida Gators fan. Right. And so it's like, come on now.
Come on, people.
So yeah, you literally have to like speak slowly and make sure it's all accurate and true and not.
Oh, what happens if you're like mom or me and you just.
Whatever a day. You're an ESPN headline.
We get text messages to the group text that's like, everybody chill out, get off Twitter before a disaster strikes, aka Shells gets on Twitter or me. I'm guilty. Like we're all guilty. Like, right. We gotta think about what people put on Twitter. Think about it. Can you imagine being able to talk like that to somebody or being able to say anything like that you think for real? Like, no way, man. So if somebody's like berating your family, they're like, God, your family's the devil and evil, blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden you're like on ESPN because you were yelling at somebody and you're like, oh my God, I was just defending myself. But don't do that.
You can't even defend yourself.
No. But it's, you know what? Like you said, like there's good and bad. Like it's just part of the bad and we don't deserve to be here if we can't handle it, right? So we just got to toughen up.
That's profound. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I sometimes have like a liner that like should be in a book.
Start writing them down.
Okay. That was one.
Someone write it down, please.
Somebody like, please frame that and sell it for $1,000. It's very profound.
Let's go, Nikki.
So yeah, the microscope life, man, is hard. And that's the same for obviously the dad, like who was ever in the spotlight, like Corey, everybody who's like, man, we want to know more about Corey. Like, I wish I could freaking treat you and tell you about Corey because he is the best, but he is like just anti-microscope. He's like, keep me out of your little situation because I'm just chilling over here and I like it here. And that's, I respect that. I understand. Yeah. So, okay. Last thing, Gigi. And I don't even know if this is bad. It's just tough. Like, it's just adapting. The one thing you can count on, if you're in a coach's family, what are you doing? Like every few years?
Moving.
You're moving.
Yeah.
What happens when you move? Like what are some of the things that come with that?
I mean, it depends on the ages that we were when we moved. We had to make new friends. That's hard to do.
It is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard. New houses.
New houses. like from mom's standpoint, I can't imagine. Like, we moved at a time when we were young enough, we didn't have to deal with the whole packing.
So she dealt with it all.
She did it all. She's doing it right now.
She came over here tonight and she, you know, picks one of my kids up from school like every day because she's the best. And she's in the process of, you know, going through their house and purging. And she brings like a box of stuff over here every day. And she's like, I think you might want this. And I had to say tonight, I was like, Mom, I know that really, that friend of yours that I've never met is really nice. And she bought me that book when I was one. I don't want it. I love you. But I also have three copies of that book and I don't want that one. She like can't, she can't throw things away or donate. Like she's like, oh my God, I know you need this. And like, I don't need that. No. You'd think she'd be a little bit better at freaking purging by now, but she's not.
So I think it's good for her to kind of get around and move around a little bit because it kind of forces her to clean out some stuff because otherwise she wouldn't.
No, oh my God. Can you freaking imagine? I cannot. So don't you think with moving though, that it makes you like more adaptable and more personable? Like, I think we both can talk to a wall at this point. Like we make conversation with just about everything.
Yeah.
And we're not awkward. I mean, we're awkward, but it's like acceptable awkward. It's like, you think I'm awkward, but I don't think I'm awkward. And that's half the battle with awkwardness. Like if you don't feel you're awkward, like you're winning, like you just carry on.
Our third episode was named Are We Weird?
Are We Weird? Yeah.
Our third episode. Almost,
yeah. Like, so it just has forced us to be in a scenario where we're just used to people like being around us that we don't know that well. And we want to know you that well. Like, so here we are and we're going to adapt and we're going to embrace this place. And we did, we talked about it last episode. Like we're the biggest fans immediately. Mm-hmm. I have Jag stuff everywhere. I wear it every day.
I'm obsessed
with the Jags. And I can't wait for
something else too. When you move, you know, from place to place and the only people that you have to take with you is your family. And so that's just another reason why we're so close knit and strong bonded.
Because definitely
we only had each other through those moves. And although we had family and stuff like that, but it was, well, extended family, but it was just us all the time.
Yeah. In Utah. Out in like the far like west, wild, wild west, baby. And I'm like, I don't know anyone, but I know you. And I used to hate you back in Indiana, but do you want to be best friends? Did we just become best friends?
Yes.
You want to do karate in the garage? Yes. Like that's like what happens from all those moves. And exactly. You know what? It's hard, but like, man, was that like a nice way to grow up because we got to see so many parts of the country. Like we got to see so many different cultures, so many different, you know, types of, you know, schools and friends and, you know, families. So I just think like it helped us develop a sense of just acceptance of all types of things and just made us pretty chill.
And what's one of the most difficult questions to be asked? Where are you from?
No. Oh, what do you say?
I don't even know. I'm like,
what do you say?
I don't know. What do you say?
It depends.
Oh, I was born in Colorado, but then I lived in Utah and Indiana. And then,
Ohio,
and then I lived in Florida where I've lived most of my life. So I just say I'm from Florida.
From Florida.
Like, oh, so you're an army rat. And we're like, nope.
No. Try again.
I don't know why, but thank you for asking.
I don't know. I don't know. I have no home. I'm a nomad. I say, I either say Florida or I just say Atlanta. I don't know why. It just is like, cause then I'm like, yeah, I went to Georgia Tech. I'm from Atlanta. Like, because if I don't know. I just like claim Atlanta for some reason, even though I was there like the least.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Yeah. I say I'm from Florida just because
I would say you're from Florida.
I'm a Florida girl.
Yeah. You've been there way longer than anywhere. I feel like, I don't really say I'm from Ohio because then people are like, well, what high school did you go to? And you're like, well, I actually went to high school in Florida. And then you're like, dang it, they opened the can of worms. And now I got to explain my whole life. Like, so you just like try to say something that leads to the least amount of worms.
Atlanta.
I'm from Atlanta. What high school did you go to? Georgia Tech.
What college did you go to? Georgia Tech.
I don't know. Just stop asking me questions.
You don't want to know.
Oh man, it's hard, but it's the most consistent part about coaching families. Like everything we've talked about is pretty universal. Like everyone gets the tickets. Everyone gets the, you know, gotta have the thick skin. Everyone moves. Mm-hmm. It is like the one thing. So I think, you know, I wouldn't say we mastered it, but we deal with it and we have fun with it. And parents are champs because I have yet to be a coach's wife to move my kids. So God help us. Yes. If that day ever comes, I'm ready, I guess. Like I'm not, but you have to say that. But yeah, it's the hardest part. But I think,
I just realized we have one big non-glam. We missed a big glam too.
What?
The non-glam losing.
Oh God.
Big glam is winning.
Yeah. Glass God, I'm an idiot. How did I forget that? Thank you.
Got you.
So, okay, real quick then. Winning. Mm-hmm. It's freaking
national
best.
Championships.
Yeah. Like, imagine a better feeling than that.
What are you doing?
Shells, what are you doing? You're touching the trophy. Get out of there. Like, it's the best. Winning is fun because you're on top of the world. And we're like literally the least relevant of anybody out there on the field. The families, we're like the least relevant, but we're like in the middle, like celebrating because it's your dad. Like, and you've seen all the blood, sweat, and tears that those players and the coaches and the families, like everybody's dealt with, you know?
I'm just like getting giddy thinking about it. Like some of the memories we've had with the confetti. And
oh my God. And I've done so many confetti angels.
So much fun.
I've done more confetti angels in my life than I have snow angels. But losing
smile on the players' faces though, that's the coolest part too.
Aww. And they're like crying and hugging your dad.
Gosh, it's so cool.
It's the best. Brandon Spikes just put something on Twitter for dad like a week ago. And it was so cool because like that was however long ago, like Florida, 2006. What are we, 2021? Like, I don't know. You guys do the math. We don't do math. We told you so last episode. But that was a million years ago. And like, he still is saying that he's so thankful for dad and like his leadership and all the memories that he got to experience with dad. Like, so those like last a lifetime. That's legendary. Wins are legendary. Losses hurt though.
Bad.
Bad. I even say.
In dad's scenario, like losses hurt more than winning feels good.
Feels good. I would agree. Which is like, thank the Lord he doesn't lose very much, but he does. Like, would you, so what I, the scenario I always say is people are always like, oh, the sun will come up tomorrow. Like it doesn't though for a while. Like it's like a dark few days, maybe a week until you can go win again. So, and then you don't know what to do. So you just show up at your dad's office with Panera the next day. And you're like, I brought you breakfast because you're just like trying to make something a little better and you're not really helping, but you're trying. I've been in that scenario a few times.
It's like a lot of the non-glams that we talked about, right? Usually have a good side to it where it's like, okay, yeah, that sucked, but we learned this from it. Like losing doesn't have much of a,
it's just a dark abyss.
Yeah. It stinks.
Yeah, it is. It's hard, but it's part of it. And
the hardest everybody part afterwards too, because normally, you know, we're usually at a party or something celebrating. When it's a loss, you go home to an empty house and everyone just tries to go to bed.
Oh my God. Especially if it's an 8 PM game and then everybody gets on the airplane at 2 AM and then everyone's mad from 2 AM to 4 AM on the airplane. Then you get off and everyone's like waiting for the luggage and everyone's just like, so sad. It's like the longest sadness of my life. And then you go to bed sad and then you wake up and you're like, dang it. It was real.
Yeah. And you just wear it until the next game. Until the next win.
Until the next win. Yeah, two in a row, man. That one will get you. I don't even know. Have we ever done that? Probably, but I just have suppressed that.
Yeah.
Well, that's a really good input. Finisher, I like to say.
Yes.
Yeah. Finisher.
But that, well, is definitely the hardest thing to deal with, for sure.
Yeah, that's the ultimate.
But
and we as fans, like,
brighter note though. What can we end on? We need to end on a brighter note.
Ooh, Well, we had like actual connection and I wasn't an alien today. So thank God for that.
I think Dana's watching over us right now. Thank you, Dana.
Yeah, Dana, whatever magic you pulled to make this happen. Way to go, girl. That's why you get paid the big bucks. Oh, wait. Dana's just doing this because she's freaking awesome. So, all right. Well, we'll end it there, I think. Hopefully this gives you some light then. And, you know, if you're somebody who's always been sensitive to coaches' families, thank you. Because you're like, I read a lot. Like I really do. Some people are like, I don't read what people say to me. Well, good for you, but I do. Mm-hmm. And whenever somebody shows us like some serious love and grace and like, just like softness, like, especially when times are hard, that person like is instantly like, I thank God for them because they're like note that maybe nobody replies to, like it's seen and it's appreciated. If you're somebody that busts people's butts, maybe this shines a little light and we're people and we feel it and it hurts. So I don't know. I'm sure like, and I've like, I'm sure you're both like, I'm sure like people have shown us a lot of sympathy and like nice kindness, but then also at the same time, like if they don't like a fake punt call on your own 7-yard line and it didn't go so well, and then you lose the game and you want our dad fired. I don't know. Maybe you'll listen to this and not yell so loud next time or not at me on Twitter and tell me you hate my family.
That happens, people.
I know, but it's okay because it's all just a lot of passion for the game. So we don't hold it against you. It's okay. So anyways, that was fun. I think our next topic, I don't know. I don't think we have one planned yet. So if you have something you really want to hear, let us know. And we'll be sure to.
I think a good way to end this episode, you're already kind of talking about it, but one of the glams that we didn't really talk about is the fans and the people that we connect with as a football. And yeah, I think that's awesome. Like we love you guys, like fans, and especially in this change that we're kind of dealing with right now with dad going to the Jags, like the amount of support, Nikki, it was unbelievable. The amount of support and love that we've received from everyone with
Ohio State.
Yes. People. Ohio State. Like I think there's a lot of Ohio people that became Jags fans that day. And that is like the most heartwarming thing and just amazing. So thank
you. Yes, thank you. Can we do like a thing where we're like Buckeyes on Saturday and then Jags on Sunday? Well, we have the Browns. Like a lot of people are Browns fans. Like, can you just be Jags fans except for when they play the Browns? Can we like start the movement? Yeah. Jags movement. Ohio for the Jags.
Buckeyes on Saturday, Jags on Sunday.
A lot of people have messaged us though and said that they are Jags fans because they love dad and the fam. So that is, yeah, I agree. Like the fans are really, really fun. And they, especially the ones that like just show a lot of love and support, not only for us, but for the players. And, you know, it's great. It's great. So I agree. I think that is a really positive way to end it. Thank you. Cause you can't end on a negative note. We won't ever do that. No. No, we won't do that. So, okay. Well, let us know what you want to know, what you want to hear next. We've got like a really good lineup for our dad. We're going to interview him as soon as we can like get him in the vibe to do it. And we're going to make him explain himself on like 10 things that we have. And I'm not going to tell you because it's a secret, but it's going to be hilarious because no one is safe on this podcast, not even him. Well, I guess thank you so much for listening. And until next time,
Meyer out.